You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Downloadable audio episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures podcast can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are locally underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Caterman, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. And today we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Hallie Ringan, the owner of New You. So Hallie, how are you doing today?
Good. It's the work from your office and home conundrum, right?
With sure. Internet. Yeah. We do it all. We do it all. So what is New You?
So New You is a business of holistic health and corrective exercise for the individual, family, or business.
All right. So tell me, let's start with holistic health. Mm-hmm. Just what all does that entail? Because that's,
yeah.
I guess I've heard lots of different ideas in regards to that. It's pretty vague, but let's run down that road.
Yeah. Holistic health really encompasses so much. So I like to tell people that we start from the inside and we work our way out. So it's about the emotional behavior patterns that we have, the psychology of what we do and why we do it, and how that pertains to habits that either help us grow when it comes to our highest self and also being as fit as possible, or that get in our way and that sabotage us and lead us to sickness and pain.
All right. Got it. And then the second thing you mentioned, my mind is blank now.
Corrective exercise.
Corrective exercise. This sounds like something needs to be corrected. That means it's bad or harmed, or I guess what would that entail?
So usually the way that I like people to think of it is their body isn't functioning at the optimal level for what they desire, regardless of age or gender or disability or ability. And so sometimes that can look like a, you know, 70-year-old who has always been an athlete, who is been injured and wants to get back to being an athlete.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with all of these things and then focusing on both individual, family, or as well as businesses, I guess that's taken on a lot. I guess as far as that goes, let's start with the individual. Are people coming to you because they hurt or they want to run faster, jump higher kind of thing? Or I guess, why do individuals come to you initially?
The majority of my business is individuals, honestly. I would say that about 80% of who I serve as individuals, from the individual, I usually have family. So it's usually referral that way. And then I would say 20% of my business is corporate.
All right.
But typically people come to me because someone they know refer them and they are in pain or they're out of balance and they're seeking to get into balance.
All right. And when you say out of balance, it sounds like you don't necessarily mean that they're falling or stepping on a rock kind of thing.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes that's one of the things they want to work on, but usually, especially in the last couple of years with COVID, is they're just not feeling good and they feel like things are completely off and maybe out of control, and they want to figure out how to get back to feeling good and healthy and strong.
All right. All right. Very cool. And how do you go about helping them?
So I use some pretty strong assessment tools when I meet with people. So the initial assessment that I do, I like to do in person. However, I do have clients at a distance, so sometimes we don't do the physical assessment. We just do everything else on Zoom. But basically, I take people through a process using the Enneagram as a personality typing tool to help people understand their behaviors and more importantly, why they are the way they are. And then I take them through a health history. So it might be similar to what you would do with a healthcare practitioner. And then if they're in office with me, I take them through a series of physical assessments as well, like posture analysis, abdominal wall function, rotation, all kinds of things that can happen for us as we age.
Wow. All right. So was it Enneagram? Is that what you said?
It's actually Enneagram. So it's
Enneagram. What is an Enneagram?
I know it's a really good question. An Enneagram, the Enneagram spelled with an E, is a personality typing profiling system that's been around for a very long time, for thousands of years.
So and, I've been under a rock.
Yeah. It's only been taught and actually put into some kind of order since the 1970s. So before that, everything was word of mouth, and it's been put into written form and more of a templated system in the last 50 years.
And is this a physical thing? Is this questions you ask people?
No, actually, the Enneagram is based on why we do what we do. So it's behavior focused.
Okay.
And it's a personality typing system that has 9 main types. But within those types, there are all kinds of intricacies into our personality in terms of, for example, one of the types is an achiever. And so an achiever might be somebody who is ultra competitive and overworks and is exhausted and doesn't understand why. And the Enneagram helps show that person not only where they fall, but also what the core desires and fears are pertaining to that.
I think you just described the majority of our audience.
I would assume so, given that it's a business-oriented podcast.
One or two, maybe both. All right. So it sounds to me similar to like a DISC profile or Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinder, something like that.
It is very similar to that. Okay. Very similar.
So you're essentially asking questions, and then based on the answers, they end up on a scale somewhere.
Yes. The most important thing about the Enneagram that's different from the ones that you just mentioned is that it doesn't just give you an example of where your strengths are, or what you are, but why you are the way you are.
Oh.
So right. For example, like the person I was just talking about, which would be a type Enneagram type 3, which would be the achiever, people that fall into that particular type, basically believe that they need to be successful in order to be loved.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. And then How do they figure that out? The Enneagram writers.
So there are a lot of free tests online that I do not recommend.
Okay. All right.
And the reason for it is because they're really inaccurate. So I get people all the time who take free tests and get really frustrated by it. There is a test out there right now that is probably the most accurate. It's called the Compass Report. And it gives you a 13-page, handout once you take the test online. But then the other way that I do this with people, a lot of times people just want to take a test. So I start with people and say, you can take a test, but you're going to get more out of it if you take an hour and go through a typing session with me. And I ask them that way they can really get more interactive and ask the details that they want.
All right. What is a typing session? Because in my world, that's literally in front of a keyboard, just writing.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I'm assuming it's more in depth than that.
Yeah, a typing session is basically where I ask people questions over the course of about 50 minutes. And things like, what is your, how do you respond to fear in your life? Or do you consider yourself to be an aggressive person? Do you find beauty in all things? Like all kinds of questions. And then depending on how they answer, I ask them follow-up questions to help them figure out their type. It's really important that the person, the client, the customer comes to the conclusion with the help of me facilitating it.
All right. So they're listening to you ask these questions. They're giving you a response. And now some of those questions that you ask sound like they're not necessarily yes or no, right. But somebody may give you a paragraph answer.
And that can happen a lot.
Okay. So how do you know what to ask them next?
So I have my master's degree in marriage and family therapy.
Okay.
So I worked as a therapist for many years. And so I've done a lot of coaching, facilitating, interviewing. And so I just use those natural skills to figure out how to kind of proceed. I have a certification through Chestnut Pius Enneagram Institute as well, which has helped me figure out how to do this in the best way possible.
All right.
But sometimes I let people know that if they want to go a little bit longer with the typing session, we can do that. But that in order for me to keep things moving, sometimes I have to shorten the answer.
Reel it in. So when somebody comes to you with this, are they trying to solve a problem, or are they just trying to figure out more why they are who they are and not necessarily need to change or attempt to change who they are?
Usually people come to me when they've been in some kind of pain. So whether that be physical pain, which is never just physical pain, there's always, you know, emotional, mental, psychological stuff tied to that, or the opposite. So oftentimes I get people who have maybe they have had a big career change or a relationship change, maybe a business partner change. Maybe they have been injured and they're not seeing any results, even though they're doing all the right things.
Mm-hmm. All right. So they're essentially trying to solve a problem.
Yes.
Of some kind. All right.
Yes.
Interesting. Now tell me about the family side of things. Is this similar? One member comes in there to see you and then says, "Hey, family, we got some pain we need to relieve." And
yes. And usually, the family side of things, it definitely gets more in depth and there's a lot more going on. So we do, when I work with a family, we do the family sessions, but then I always do a one-on-one session with every single person in the family I get an idea of where everyone's coming from without the influence of everyone there.
All right. And is that when you're working with families, I imagine you got an age gap. How young do you work with?
Well, I've worked with kids as young as, you know, 11, 12 years old, but I would say the majority of the time, my demographic is usually people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. So usually kids are in their teen years or beyond.
Gotcha. Okay. That's where all the pain is, right?
Yeah, right.
Moody teenagers. Here we go. Tell me about the business side, how working with businesses or more corporate entities. Mm-hmm.
So the business, it's very different because as you have a larger group, you can't get as personal and, you know, into the kinds of stuff we do with individuals. But what I typically do with businesses is I run a 90-minute introductory Enneagram workshop. And before that even happens, I send them all a test. So the test I was just telling you about, the Compass Report, they all get that. They all go through that. That helps them understand a little bit more about what the Enneagram is and where they might fall. And then they have lots of questions once I show up. With that 90-minute introductory Enneagram, basically workshop, usually businesses want to hire me for more because people are just so curious about, okay, all now, right. how do we use this as individuals and how do we use this for internal customers and external customers?
Got it. So when a business comes to you, similar to an individual or even a family, is that business trying to figure out where a certain pain is coming from? Is this curiosity? Are they trying to work better? What's the end goal?
For businesses, it's usually communication breakdown.
Mm.
Almost always.
Okay.
So for example, in the IT department of a company is not communicating well within the department. And there continues to be a breakdown with the rest of the company, which slows everything down, which makes the vision and the mission very difficult to get to. And those goals.
Yeah. I think you've just described every IT group that I've ever come across. It's just universal with the industry. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is it happens for all of us, right? Think about how much time we spend at work, which is good and bad, connecting with our coworkers. And we either enhance relationships and we all move towards the goal that the company wants us to, or we spend way too much time complaining, tearing people down, actually working against the vision or the mission of the company. And that gets tricky.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So when businesses come to you, is it typically an entire business, or I guess it would be a smaller business, or is it a group, a department, like an IT department or something like that? How does that work?
Usually it's an entire business. So usually I start with a broad-based 90-minute corporate workshop. And then from there, depending on the size of the business, I've never had a business that's exceeded 100 employees right now with the Enneagram stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. But if I did, I have people that I can contract in to help me work with that business.
All right. Now, I imagine you get pushback from a couple employees that are like, wait, I don't want you probing my brain figuratively or even through questions or something like that. How do you deal with that?
So the way that I've learned to deal with pushback and feedback is to help that person find out what they want and what their goal is. And sometimes their goal is to not be involved at all. And it really is. I mean, think about wellness programs. I've done so many corporate wellness programs where there are people who are like, I don't want any part of this, but my employer is making me do it. And so I've learned from that experience that I can help that person figure out maybe a little bit more of what they want. I don't have a whole lot of time to go one-on-one with them, but then I refer them to someone within the company that can help them, support them, move them forward, or pull them out if they really aren't ready to be part of it.
All right. Interesting. So how long have you had New You?
So New You is something that I put together in 2008. So 14 years.
Oh, wow. All right. All right. And what
now it's evolved over time. It hasn't always looked like this.
Oh, they all do. Every business does. It's all good. So what brought you to something like this versus running down with the therapy that you were trained on before?
Yeah. As a therapist, working as a marriage and family therapist, I did in-home family therapy for years.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, the most rewarding things I've ever done. But one of the things I realized was that I wanted to help people move forward more than I was helping people look back. So therapy is super helpful. And I think it's really a great thing for all of us. However, I like the coaching approach better. I like being able to work with a team of people and maybe refer out to a therapist if somebody's experiencing trauma, depression, things like that, but then also help that person in terms of how to move forward. In terms of New You, when I originally started my business, it was basically nutrition focused and physical fitness focused.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that's part of what I do, but what I found with that model is that just telling people what to do is short-lived. Mm-hmm. And so most anyone can follow a program if they want to bad enough for 90 days, get some results and feel good. But then it's really common to fall back into old patterns and old habits. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Enneagram became clear to me as a tool that was going to help clients really move forward.
All right. Cause then they have a reason for why they're doing what they're doing and they have a clear means of how to change it.
Yeah.
Instead of just telling everybody to eat kale and move on.
Yes.
All right.
It's more as to, okay, why are you self-destructing with alcohol or sugar or whatever it may be?
All right. Interesting. So at what point, I guess, chronologically, did you change to the Enneagram system and starting out with that?
So that's a good question. So I would say you, and I read through your stuff, as probably all business owners who've been in business this long, there's usually a point in your business where you're like, why am I doing this? Can I even do this? What the heck am I doing?
Oh, sometimes on the daily.
Right. And I used to work collaboratively with a business partner who was also one of my really good friends. And we worked well together for a few years, but we didn't have a contract. I wouldn't advise that. Like ever. Right. The other thing is that we were a powerhouse when we worked together in companies and did wellness together. And we did a lot of things right, but we had a falling out. And through that falling out, I learned that I needed to really look inward at myself and what role I played in that, in our relationship, in installing the business from moving forward, in growing, you know, and also really, you know, not only growing myself, but helping others to grow. Because if I wasn't growing inside, then there was no way other people were going to be stalled as well.
Right.
And so that it was the rug was kind of pulled out from under me on that one. I didn't expect it to happen the way that it happened, but it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because that's when I started really diving into, okay, what's going on here for most people? Why do most people want to, quote, get healthy, or, you know, to make these changes, and how do we help them make them long-term?
Interesting. Yeah. It's one of those things, I guess, I see with both myself and with other people, business owners, especially. Anytime you feel like you're comfortable, something's either wrong or you're not paying attention.
Yes.
It almost seems like there's a constant pain. The level may change, but typically when I feel pain in the business, it means that you're growing.
Yeah.
Or you're about to be taught something that you should have known.
I couldn't have said that better. I think that is so true. And I think as a business owner, being aware that you can't go around it, you have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to survive as a business owner.
Right. Yeah. There's no bypassing that. Mm-mm. Interesting. So was that a few years in, was that 6 months in, or how long?
That were you was with the business in part? 2013. That was in 2013.
Oh, so this was a while.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then your business partner takes off, whatever, life goes on.
Yep.
And you have a little moment when you're like, wait a second, something's got to change. Is that when you came across the Enneagram?
It literally found me.
All right. All right.
And I say this to people that, you know, the Enneagram, if you really want to see it for what it is, you have to have gone through something that was pretty painful.
All right.
Because when you start reading about your type, it's not all butterflies and flowers. It's just, it really gets into the stuff that it shows you and reflects back to you is, it's not fun.
All right.
But it's necessary. It's kind of like physical therapy.
Right. Painful for the time, but the results are worth it.
Absolutely.
Should be worth it. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So your business partner, are you back in touch with them? Is that all cool? Or they just say life goes on, water's under the bridge, I'll never talk to you again.
You know, at first I was that way. I was very upset and I didn't want anything to do with her and never wanted to talk to her again. I was very hurt. I did not see my role in it. I have reached out over the last few years, just in little bits here and there, but we haven't really reconnected I don't feel like there's a lot of ill will. I just feel like this is the way it's supposed to be. We're sure. Moving on in life in our separate ways, and there's no hard feelings. I believe life there's an air of forgiveness in there. Yeah.
Got it. All right. So at that time, you find this Enneagram thing, you're pivoting your business, right? That word. Yay. How do you go about changing what you're doing from a marketing standpoint?
That was the hardest part. Do you hear this a lot?
Oh, yeah. Marketing's a pain.
It's not employees,
it's marketing.
It's a pain. And I really don't care for it, honestly. But I've learned to like it.
Just out of necessity.
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of what I did at that time was just connected with community. I continued to do email marketing. This is back in 2013, so things were very different. I did social media marketing very, very limited, but it was Facebook was different then. So I was hitting a lot of way different, right? I was hitting a lot of people without even placing an ad, you know. LinkedIn was very different, but I still had enough of a presence in the community that people were still referring to me. And even though I didn't do as much corporate wellness when we split, I still had a lot of individual and family clients at that time.
All right.
So nice. There was definitely a little bit of a hardship, a little bit of a financial downturn, but things kind of came back up. And then 2019 came along and I decided to really take on a huge leap, redo my logo, redo my marketing, my website. I hired an agency. I had no idea what was coming. My whole goal was to be as virtual as possible.
All right.
And then 2020 hit.
You're prepared.
I was completely unprepared for being prepared.
Oh, all right. All right.
And my business went through the roof.
Nice. All right. Mm-hmm. because you're virtual. Yep. People are hungry. People are feeling pain.
Yep.
And they're grasping at anything that they can possibly find to help them alleviate that pain.
Yep.
So very cool. Very cool. Yep.
It was really cool and really exciting. But at that time, I hired a digital media director, which is my son, who is an information systems wizard. And so he helped me really get organized, especially virtually, in addition to the marketing team that I hired to help me with everything else. And then I hired an intern. And at the time, because of how we were all online and all indoors, this ended up being a UW student. And so and she was brilliant. She was my digital media assistant. So the three of us were able to really work well together to get things moving. Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. And are they still with you?
My son still does my digital media stuff for sure.
Okay.
She is not with me anymore. She's moved on to an amazing position.
Gotcha.
In social media.
Internship ended, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I would say, as you probably know, is so much. I actually take 10 hours a week just for marketing.
10 hours a week. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It's too much right now. And I'm in the process of transitioning that. So hopefully I can take some of that off my plate, but a lot of time on social media, a lot of time writing copy, a lot of time putting together marketing emails, a lot of time networking.
Interesting. So you hired a marketing team and I guess marketing is one of those things where it's like, you just pour a bunch of money in and you hope that more of the money comes out. And a lot of times it doesn't. You don't know until the money's already spent whether you're going to get a return on that.
Yeah.
So did the initial marketing work?
It really did work. But I think it worked because, first of all, they did a magnificent job on my logo, on helping me with my brand, helping me identify how I wanted to zero in. Because, as you know, holistic coaching is such a big,
huge, you know,
thing, yeah. Right? What does that mean? But I think 2020 is what really helped it. Sad gotcha. To say.
All right. But, and have you been able to maintain that pace?
I have been able to maintain it. As things have shifted in 2022, I have been having to put in a little bit more effort with the marketing side of things to keep things going. Just because, as you know, some are back in the office part-time and everyone's life is different than it was the last couple of years.
It is definitely, I would say, still a changing world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the change is as pronounced. I don't think people are necessarily as in tune with it as they were in 2020, where like everybody was changing, the world's upside down and we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think that, I guess, chips are starting to settle.
Yeah.
And a lot of the change that happened, we're like, okay, this is our life now. But I still think that there's a lot that hasn't been figured out or hasn't. I mean, I don't know what the new normal is, so to speak.
Right.
I know there's patterns that people have shifted into with a lot of things, but I don't know that that's where people are going to stay. So nobody knows. I guess it'd be interesting.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. 5, maybe even 10 years from today. Will the world look like it did in 2019, or will the world look more like it does today?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think we all, but I think one of the themes that I'm seeing is that no matter who you are, most people know how important community is now.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot more than we did in 2019.
Oh, that's fair. That is fair. Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because I was always thinking that the pandemic was just a great way for introverts to run the world.
That's a really interesting way to
look at it. We win! Nobody gets to go anywhere or talk to anyone. And someone like me is just going crazy because I need to see the world and talk with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a frustrating time. But yeah, I could see
very
different world. Definitely a different world. There's certainly changes that have gone through that have stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess speaking of that, when people come to you or came to you during the pandemic, I imagine what you do isn't just a one and done kind of thing. Mm-mm. Like, thanks for coming. You're all fixed. The rest of your life will be just rainbows and unicorns.
I wish.
Did your 10 push-ups. You're in shape now, right?
Can you imagine? It'd be like $1 million or something. Yeah, right? Comes to me.
So I imagine people have to keep coming back, or there has to be a routine of some kind. But definitely. I also imagine that there's some people that just fall off the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they just say, you know what? Either I don't know, insert excuse here for why they don't continue, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fill in the blank.
And so 12 weeks is a minimum that I work with people.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So again, neighborhood of 3 months.
Yep.
90 days, whatever. And I imagine people can see a change from day one versus day 90.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Definitely.
And I guess, do people leave at the end of 90 days because they're like, hey, I'm all fixed?
Yeah.
Or is it, tell me how, I guess going back to marketing, how do you keep people going?
Yeah.
Both from a business sustainability point of view, as well as helping them maintain the change that they've accomplished.
Yeah, that is a great question. I love what I do. And I think, and I really, I kind of geek out in trying to figure out how to solve problems.
All right.
And so I think people feel that. And I really do care about my clients. My retention rate after 90 days, people can re-up for another 90, is about 85%.
Wow. Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah. I have a lot of, I really do. Some people, I worked with a woman just recently who got halfway through the 90 days and she's like, this isn't for me. It's like, okay.
All right.
It's all right. Great. but I think that really comes, you know, when you live your passion, people feel it and they want to learn how to live their passion.
Yeah. Fair. Very fair. What have been some of the greatest success stories since, even going back since 2008, that you've come across?
Oh my gosh. Wow. There have been so many. I would say, one of the success stories that comes to the top of my head is as a woman that I've worked with since 2008, off and on, who's also become a friend of mine.
All right.
So back in 2008, I met her through a corporate program, and she has made some amazing changes in her life. And not only has she been able to achieve her goals in terms of weight loss and aches and pains and all kinds of health issues, but she's been able to find out more about herself and why she is the way she is and change her patterns. And as a result, I've worked with her husband. I've worked with her daughters. I've worked with the whole family in both individually and as, you know, as a couple over the whole time I've been in business. So that's one of my favorite stories.
Dang, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's very impressive. And she's been able to maintain or consistently improve?
Consistently improve.
All right. That's got to be very rewarding to watch.
She's an amazing one.
Nice. Very cool. Have there been some challenges? I guess I'm just trying to think in my head. Somebody goes through this Enneagram. The Enneagram comes back and says, you're a lazy bum and you haven't accomplished anything in your life, or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Something happens. Maybe I'm just reminded of some of the employees I've had. I just wonder, do you ever... Because I think of something like the first one you said, I want to say achiever. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Where I could totally see myself fitting into that.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be, a polar opposite to that.
Right. There definitely is. There's a type on the Enneagram called the sloth.
The sloth. I can't imagine getting that result. Oh, my gosh.
But let me tell you, they're also called the peacemaker.
The peacemaker. Okay.
That's a better way to say it. So within each type,
oh, that's awesome. You're not so slothy.
Right? You're sloth, but you make peace with everyone.
Okay.
Right. But within each type, you've got, you know, the high adjectives and the low adjectives, just like we all do.
Sure. So tell me about the sloth or the peacemaker, because that's just, you drum my curiosity very high.
Okay. So that would be your Enneagram type 9. And they are some of my very favorite people on the planet. They are people that energetically tend to hold on to their energy. So they're the people that you kind of have to dig them out. They probably loved COVID, most of them. You kind of had to dig them out of their cave and get them moving. They're very others referencing. So they love to help other people, but in the midst of that, they often forget what they want.
Mm.
And they put themselves on the back burner, and then they end up, you know, being overextended by helping other people, making peace for either individuals or communities. On the downside of the peacemaker or the sloth is that they can be the most stubborn people on the Enneagram. So they dig their heels in, and then trying to help them get their heels out of the quicksand can be hard.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Man alive. Yeah. I've had employees like that.
Right.
One of the interesting things that I've come across just in dealing with people, especially with employees, I guess, in my business, is they come across people, you interview them, you hire them, they're doing some work, and then they end up calling out for whatever reason. And you learn after the fact, sometimes it's days, sometimes weeks, months, whatever, but they have health issues. And a lot of times these are people that are early 20s, sometimes mm-hmm. into mid 30s, something like that. But it's just, I feel, and this is me, I mean, me seeing a tiny fraction of the world, mm-hmm. that there are a ton of people that have just bizarre health things. And this is one of those, I don't know if because the people that we're hiring, a lot of them are working from home or something like that. And that's who the job attracts. Mm-hmm. Or is this just like the majority of the world or people in our country are just really not healthy? Not necessarily, well, some by life choices, but others just bad luck. Yeah. You see, I guess, what have you found in that regard with some of your clients?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. And I think what I've seen as well, and what I tell people to do is next time you travel, when you sit in that airport, watch people. So many people, they can't move the way they want to move. They look sad, discouraged. And it's this has not happened overnight.
Oh, okay.
I really do believe that we have been self-destructing from a health perspective over time, but in the last 30 years, it's gone really quickly. And I think there's so many things to blame, but obesity is out of control, right?
Way out of control.
Way out of control. And if think about it, I mean, when you're just 10 to 20 pounds overweight, it feels kind of icky. But then the majority of America is 30 plus pounds overweight. And so trying to get a bag out of an overhead bin is difficult. Trying to bend down to pick up your keys is difficult. So trying to be at work for 8 hours in a day sometimes is too much for people to even take on, just because inflammation is higher. Mm-hmm. Energy's lower.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a scary thing to me. Whenever I travel, I just, you know, I wonder, what is the solution here? What can we do?
I don't have a good answer for that. I guess. I guess I have suggestions and stuff like that, but most people don't want to hear that. So
right.
Get out and move, really. But I guess a lot of people are pretty sedate.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And that's the thing over COVID that is, it's made it worse, unfortunately.
Oh, hugely. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. When they started closing down the health clubs and stuff like that. Oh, wait a second.
Right. I know.
This is counterintuitive.
100%. And so, you know, being in Wisconsin, they're like, oh, it's too cold to go outside. I'm like, you live in Wisconsin. How long have you lived here? Put your clothes on, go outside. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. Now, I mean, I'm not always like that, but sometimes you got to push people because it's like,
yeah, totally.
If you're not moving, mm-hmm. you're dying.
Fair. Totally fair. Yeah. Grow or die. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. I take my dog for a run every day during the week. And that's the only time we cut it short. I think when it was 30 below,
mm-hmm.
we cut it short just because she doesn't wear clothes. And I think that was, lightning.
Yeah.
It's probably 2 or 3 days a year that we don't go out.
Right, because she has to get out.
Yeah, it's interesting the difference between anything outside of maybe between 70 and 75 degrees, the crowd that you see there, and then anything outside of that is pretty much barren.
It's
and I'm like, insane. We're in Wisconsin. We get six nice days a year. So that's right. That realm.
You're so right. I mean, this spring has been weird and gray and
very
cold.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah. Mildly depressing. Yeah.
Right. But it's Wisconsin. Like, yeah. You never know what you're going to get. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but our front closet has every coat imaginable in it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder. Yeah. When you go to see friends in California or something, you're like, what's the weather like? And they're like, it's awesome. That's all you need to know. I don't know why you live yep. where you live.
Right.
So fair question. Great point. So yeah. Awesome. Hallie, how can people find you?
So people can find me on my website, which is newyoutoday.com, N-E-W, the letter U, today.com.
Awesome. And what are some signs that people will have just in their life, their experience, whatever, that should make them think, maybe I need to reach out to Hallie?
Mm-hmm. Health symptoms that won't go away.
All right.
So like
example being
that nagging hip. That, you know, not being able to sleep. That's a big one.
Okay.
So people, a lot of times will call me like, I can only sleep 6 hours a night. I'm like, let's chat. I call it the shock point for people who have gone through like a divorce, a firing, family changes. Those are the kinds of times when this work would be really helpful.
Gotcha. All right. Awesome. Tell me that website one more time, Hallie.
It's new, N-E-W, the letter U, today.com.
Love it. And then if you were to give some advice to people that were just a little bit shy about reaching out to you mm-hmm. in regards to their life, improvement, all that kind of stuff, what would you tell someone?
I would say that the most important thing to do is to communicate with someone you trust about where you're really at.
All right. When you say where you're at, help me with that.
Like, sometimes it's hard to say, especially if you're an achiever, it's hard to say, I have a problem. I have an issue.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, so being able to identify a person, a healthcare provider, someone that can at least support you and guide you in the right direction
mm-hmm.
is really important. But when it comes to health, I always tell people this. People are like, where do I start? Do I start with diet? You have to start with sleep.
Sleep.
If you're not sleeping, nothing matters. Think about what they do in the military to get answers out of people. They sleep deprive them. They put them in isolation.
All right.
So that is like the worst of the worst. If you're not sleeping, you're not going to be able to think clearly. You're not going to be able to eat well. You're not going to be able to absorb well. You're not going to be able to exercise. So that's where people need to start.
All right. That seems like a pretty easy start.
Mm-hmm.
Just sleep. Sleep well.
Right.
Interesting.
Dial back the alcohol. Dial back the caffeine.
All right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I like it. Well, I appreciate you being on the show, Hallie.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I saw that you have a podcast as well.
I do.
Where can people find that podcast?
So that podcast is available on 9 different platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, but the name of my podcast is different than my business name. It's called Fit, F-I-T, Enneagram, E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M.
Got it. All right. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, can you give us just a little bit of background on what the podcast is about?
Yeah. So this is a really helpful podcast for someone who is maybe curious about the Enneagram, but doesn't necessarily want to pay for a test or doesn't necessarily want to go through a typing session, but wants to do some of their own research first. And so the podcast itself has 30 episodes right now. And the first episode starts with an overview. And then episode by episode, I go into each type. And then I use movie examples. I use political examples. It's pretty fun. It's pretty entertaining.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. And I imagine there's a link to that podcast on your website.
There is.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Hallie, I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, James. I appreciate it.
And hopefully there's a listener out there that's just like, wait a second. I think Hallie's onto something, whether it's the extra sleep or just reaching out to you and connecting, going down the road of making themselves a better person.
Thank you.
Can't hurt, right?
Can't hurt.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are underwritten locally by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you are listening to this on web, if you could do us a huge favor, give it the big old thumbs up, comment, and subscribe. Let Haley know what kind of problems you got and how you want to make your life better. My name is James Kateman, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Holly Ringham, the owner of New You. That's the letter U. Haley, can you tell us the website one more time?
Yep. The website is newyoutoday.com.
Newyoutoday.com with the letter U.
Yes.
Excellent. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night. Podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.